Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And as always, an opportunity to catch up with head coach Andy Orrick and to get his thoughts on the Crimson as they get ready for their next challenge. They'll head west to Worcester down the Mass Pike and get ready to renew their rivalry, longtime rivalry, all the way back well over a century to 1904 with the Holy Cross Crusaders, a team that, that the Crimson played a very tight one with last year, the 35-34 game that had much drama with the Crimson prevailing, and they'll be able to renew that on Saturday. And coming off passing their first Ivy League test against the Brown Bears on Saturday night. Coach, we welcome you in, and yes, mission accomplished. You were 1-0 last week, 1-0 in Ivy, 2-0 overall, and did it in, dare I say it, very impressive fashion in front of a very impressive crowd.
Yeah, that was a great, great atmosphere. Brown traveled well. We had a bunch of students in the stands. I think they announced over 16,000 people. Our players definitely fed off that and, you know, executed at a high level. And if and I think they're starting to understand when they do that, we get results like that.
No doubt the case. And you talk about your protect and disrupt. Well, you mentioned about execution. Execution was very solid. You didn't turn it over. And as far as the disruption, well, that happened on the very first play from scrimmage. There was a lot of disruption involved with Benefield's pick six and great pressure from DeGreek off the edge.
Yeah, that was the point I made to them on Sunday when we watched the tape. I just said to Dorsey, "Hey Dorsey, you think the quarterback was trying to throw the ball directly to you?" And he was like, "No." I'm like, "That's because DeGreek disrupted the ball." So they bought into it and it's showing up in games now, which is great. You get six takeaways in two games. That's a great start.
Outstanding start, and well, just 8 seconds to be exact out of the game. Crimson with a 7-0 lead, and second series for Brown on offense. Well, it was more of the same for the Bears and quarterback Murphy. This time was a little tip drill and disruption once again with Austin Jake Guillory coming up with the pick. So right from literally from the jump, the Crimson had already generated two turnovers in the game.
Yeah, and it's important that you know, on that one, you know, you cash that in and you get seven. So to get the takeaway and then to put points on the board, you know, that significantly impacted the game when you can put yourself in that position.
No doubt. And on the offensive side, I think confidence is the word. Jaden Craig, he cites confidence. I think that might be his favorite word, particularly for the first two games. The confidence that he has in himself and keeps coming back to the trust that he has on the players that are surrounding him on that Harvard offense. Case in point, coach, is the outstanding job of your offensive line. You have not allowed you. How many drop backs? Not allowed a sack in two games. You've had seven and then eight receivers make catches in the first two. Six runners have factored in on the score sheet to rush the ball that are non-quarterbacks. I mean, it's really been spread around amongst a number of players that have got touches and being allowed to have successful touches by a great job of protection and run blocking.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the O-line, like, statistically is playing really, really well. I mean, we're number one in the country in sacks allowed, zero, and then we're number one in the country in TFLs allowed, only 2.5 per game. So if you're doing that, that's because you're executing and you got all five guys on the same play, on the same page. I know that they, you know, there's runs that we watch and they see it and they're like, "Oh, there's more yards in that." But if they continue to do what they're doing, they're going to put us in really good shape because, you know, it gives Jaden time to go through his progressions and deliver the ball where it needs to. And he's doing a really good job of, going through those progressions. And that's when you do that, it, you know, the ball gets spread around quite a bit. And that's what's happening.
Well, you look at Caden Kaufman, he was maybe even a little bit quiet. You look, he had five catches for 64 yards. Very steady, becoming a target, a go-to guy for Jaden. But right up and down and through the lineup, Dean Boyd made an outstanding play, really, to fight for it for the first touchdown. And then later on, just a strike to Gil Martin for a touchdown. Osborne, the other tight end, who maybe a little bit more in the shadow, but the veteran, on a fourth down play. I mean, once again, the versatility of this attack right now in the passing game is really starting to come to the forefront. And Cam Henry, your expectations for Cam Henry and his ability to be a home run threat for you. 44-yard touchdown, 35-yard reception in the third quarter. Absolutely. I know he's factoring in the return game now, but absolutely a dynamic presence.
Yeah, he's got legit track speed, and that shows up in football. Track speed doesn't always show up in football. His does. So when you have a guy with that type of speed who's able to, you know, take the top off the coverage, it's exciting to have. He was, I believe it was his freshman year of football and was playing in games here. And then he decided he wanted to do track. And then I had a conversation with him that first spring I was here because he lived with some football guys. And he's like, well, I want to come back. I can't this fall because I'm studying abroad. He's like, would you be willing to talk with me when I get back? And I was like, yeah, come see me. And he came and saw me and been a pleasant surprise. And, you know, it was actually, it's not even really a surprise because during training camp, we kind of knew what we had. He just, it was a little banged up and we didn't need to force it for the Stetson game and just waited and able to bring him out for this one.
Well, bring him out, you did. That was quite an entree, quite a debut for Cam Henry. Another guy that the defenses are going to have to account for as they prepare to play you this year. I really love to watch Ty Bottcher play football. I enjoyed talking to him last week as our Crimson Profile. But there's a presence, there's a swagger about him as the captain and leader of this team, and the leader of the defense. He led by example, five tackles matched by Kirkwood from the linebacker position, who's really emerged and been very impactful. And Zayden Benson also had five tackles, but Bottcher had a pick. He had five tackles. I mean, as much as Craig on the offensive side, I'm going to go out on a limb and say your defense is in pretty good hands with Bottcher on the field and really leading that unit.
Yeah, he's the epitome of a Harvard defensive player. He knows the scheme so well, and he studies the opponent at such a level that he's just a click faster than everybody with his reactions. So he's in the right spot. Overall, the defense is playing really, really well, and it's just, you know, they've bought into the idea of like 11 people doing their job, and the plays will come to them. And that's what, when you look at the stat sheet, you know, with, you know, top tacklers at five, you know, that's because it's getting spread around and guys are doing their job as opposed to trying to make a play. Because when you try to make plays as opposed to do your job, that's when big plays happen for the offense. So it's been really fun to watch that entire unit.
And the depth factor, you know, once again, we go back. Now we're 2 weeks into the 10-week regular season here, and you've got a little bit of a sample size. How the depth has developed as opposed to what your expectations were, Coach? You wanted to get into that deep rotation on the defensive line. You wanted to have trust and confidence in a relatively new linebacker core. You thought you had enough cover people back there, but your assessment now to where you are and where you maybe hope to be after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think we're in a good spot right now. You know, we definitely are able to look at eight defensive linemen and feel very good about them. And we have some more that are you know, progressing that could increase that number. And then linebacker, Coach Lucky does a good job. He's playing a lot of guys with the rotation on different series. So we're getting a lot of guys reps that maybe they didn't get previously, and the guys are playing well. So, and that's another one where there's some guys waiting in the wings that are continuing to develop that, you know, they'll be in a position here at some point this year to make a push and get themselves in that two deep. So, we're continuing to build depth by people getting experience out in games, which is real important. Yeah. Our defensive backfield, you know, we are solid. We got really good depth. Really happy with that group.
No question. And just jumping back on the offensive side, it would be remiss if we didn't mention the accolades that Jaden Craig earned last week as the Ivy League Offensive Player of the Week, and also, oh, by the way, the Walter Camp FCS Player of the Week nationally, 24 of 31, four touchdowns, had 300-plus yards with 317. You've addressed and given some insight about how you feel and Coach Fine and the coaching staff about his feeling I mean, are we kind of at a sky is the limit point of watching the way that he's just managing and handling the offense? I mean, the physical skills aside, but it just seems to be the way that he's able to process everything and his comfort level at the position and in the system right now is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, he put a lot of work in this offseason. Not being able to practice in the spring, I think, was a net positive for him because he was really able to dig in on the playbook and almost look at it from a coaching perspective. And because of that, he definitely has a stronger understanding of the offense in the past game. So, you know, the thing that we kind of had to expedite after spring when he was fully cleared was, you know, just the comfort level with the receiving group. And, you know, he put in the time this summer to start that process, and then you could see it during training camp as, you know, we kept practicing and moving along in training camp. You could see his comfort level with the whole group continue to grow, and it's been legitimately he's been playing his best football since we started camp week one and week two.
And just moving along here and get ready to head on the Mass Pike and to head west to Worcester. It'll be homecoming. It's a rivalry game. In-state, which goes back many years, over 100 years, with Holy Cross. Holy Cross is coming off another week of frustration. They down at Fordham, fell behind, came back. It was their first league game. And from watching a press conference with Coach Curran this week, he talked about really the first week that he thought that things got settled on defense. He was finding a rhythm on offense. They had a very costly kickoff return that got called back. I think Coach Curran was still upset about the call, but it seemed like they've got some confidence in all phases, and they've had a really puzzling year so far. I mean, if there's a team that's really deceiving, I'm sure from what you've seen on film to be 0-5, it's got to be this team right now. I mean, playing, what, three scholarship schools and losing by a total of 8 points and then 5 points in a league game. The only team that got any separation was Yale, so there's got to be a danger factor from what you've seen on film as to how good this team is as opposed to their record.
Yeah, you see the talent on that team. If you didn't know the scores and you're just watching the games and not paying attention to, you know, the touchdowns here or there, like you would think this team has had a great start to the season because, you know, they had an offense. Their quarterback is really athletic. You know, when things maybe break down the pocket, he's able to use his legs. They're really deep at running back. Their offensive line is huge and moves people off the line of scrimmage. And they have some really good, you know, skill on the outside. So, you know, they got things going a little bit as far as offense goes, scoring points last week. You know, I know our guys are very aware of what happened last year because, you know, the reality is, like, they were running the ball on us at will. And, you know, I'm sure that they're thinking they can do that again this year. So I definitely have been, you know, laying into that with the group, making them aware of that so they know.
Yep.
And defensively, I mean, this is definitely the best defense we will face up at this point. They're physical. They play really hard. Their front seven is really, really strong. So I think it's going to be a great matchup, and you know I don't put any weight into their record because, as you said, you know who they were playing some really good teams, and played them really close, and just a play here or there might have cost them a game. And I'm sure they're saying the same thing about our game from last year, because the reality is like they should have won that game, and we kind of got lucky. So sometimes it is better to be lucky than good. But you know, we have to go about our business, like we did these first 2 weeks and understand that it truly is about us winning the turnover margin, us executing at a high level and us playing harder than our opponent. And I think the guys understand that because they saw, you know, the results they got these first 2 weeks by going about their business that way.
And, you know, I've been doing this for a while, as you're well aware of, and I've looked at this game and talking to Mike Giardi, my long time, and even predates me as the color analyst on the broadcast. This game, it's always been a great rivalry game. It's an in-state rivalry. It's one that I think everybody in both communities of each school hopes is going to stay on the schedule. But it really, for the first time, Coach, because of the advent of the playoffs to the Ivy League, this one really takes on a different meaning in terms of emphasis, significance, because this is a Holy Cross team that probably an uphill battle, obviously, for this year, but they've been a playoff team pretty consistently coming out of the Patriot League. And as a barometer, as a yardstick for a Harvard team, it's a little bit of a different spin this year to be able to compete with this team and what you could potentially gain from coming up with the victory.
Yeah, I'm happy we get to play them every year. I'm hoping we can continue that moving forward because they are a great non-conference game to have because you know they're a quality team that you know is looked at in the way that can benefit you when you do get to playoff time. So you know they I'm sure they're thinking, hey, we only got one loss in the Patriot League. We can get this thing. We can right the ship here. Start it with Harvard and then make our way through our rest of our Patriot League schedule. So, you know, who knows where they'll end up at the end of the season. This one definitely could help us when we get to the end.
No doubt. And just a final word on last week. The atmosphere I thought was electric. It came close to 20,000 with the crowd. And then, of course, really emotional. We had Coach Murphy on at halftime. He was very emotional about the moment for him, the official dedication, the renaming of the field. And for you, I'm sure it was very special to see the turnout that was there, and alumni turnout, and an opportunity for you to engage with, probably had a chance to meet some guys coming back that you hadn't met before that have been part of this program.
Yeah, and it just speaks to the impact Coach Murphy had on all those young men that he got to coach, for them to want to dedicate the field to him, and then come back to celebrate with him, on Saturday. And, you know, it's something as a young head coach, like, I hope I can be in a similar position where my players think so highly of me that they want to honor me, when my time is done. So it was really, really cool.
Indeed. Great all the way around. Huge victory for the Crimson on last Saturday. Saturday past, that is in the past, and avenging the loss to Brown from a year ago and getting off to all important 1-0 start in Ivy League play. Coach, thanks very much, and we're looking forward to Saturday and heading down the Mass Pike, heading west to Worcester to renew the rivalry between the Crimson and the Crusaders.
Thanks, Bernie. Hopefully we can get a lot of fans out there at the game. It's their homecoming. So anybody who's on the fence, let's get you there on Saturday.
Absolutely. Bandwagon is open. Jump on for the Crimson here in 2025. Coach Andy Orrick joining us here this week, as always, with his insight on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882.